I'm Tim Panton. I'm the CTO at Pype. And this is like really just trying to encourage you to think about WebRTC as being maybe a little bit more than just that thing that you do conference calls with. That was what it was built for. It was built as a Skype replacement. That was the original idea. And that's effectively what most of you either are working on in the engineering sense or at least just making daily video sprint calls or whatever. And so it's there. But it's actually kind of useful for other things. And I wanted to highlight that because I think it actually should influence the way that we see the APIs. And I think that's we tend to forget that to some extent. So here's a conference call, in action. It looks like a conference call, but actually I would argue that it sort of isn't, in that this is MeetEcho. What's interesting about MeetEcho is that although it's a video conferencing tool, it's very specifically designed. I'm talking about somebody else's product here, but it's very specifically designed to meet the semantics of a particular meeting type, and it has the rules of that meeting in there, but embedded in the interface. And what's more, actually, if you look at some of the way that it works, the media priorities are fantastically complicated. This isn't actually a particularly good example because normally what you'd have is a slide deck in the middle, which is taking over most of the space, and then you have audio from multiple microphones, your own local feed, the person at the stand. Like, there's a bunch of different video feeds coming in that are differently prioritized, and some of them aren't actually coming from browsers. Like, a lot of the feeds coming into this aren't actually browser inputs. They're microphones, loose cameras, this kind of stuff. And so, although it looks like a conference call engine, it kind of isn't. And the other thing, the critical thing, is for it to work, you have to be able to join it with zero install. You have to be able to open your browser, browse to it, agree with the note well, and you're in. And that's kind of important. So here's another one. This is something that we've worked on. It's a baby monitor, a reasonably privacy-protecting baby monitor. That runs WebRTC between the camera and your smartphone. So you can watch your baby in real time rolling over or whatever. You can see its heartbeat as well. Its respiration rate as well, which is also carried over the WebRTC data channel. So you've got a privacy-protecting, secure thing between the two ends. And there's also an interesting thing from the service provider's point of view is that if it does end-to-end media, not only do you get the encryption benefits, but you also get a reduced bandwidth cost because most of that traffic's not going through a central server. So I built this thing. It's another example of a thing that is WebRTC, but it isn't a conference call. I do a podcast with a friend. We interview people who are doing stuff that we think might tell us what's happening in the future. And it's audio only, and we wanted to make it so that we could interview these people really easily. So we just basically send them a link. They open a link to a WebRTC page, and that gets recorded automatically. And that conversation's got to be really easy to do. And so we did this. I built this thing in WebRTC. It's on GitHub, and the podcast is there as well, actually. But the critical thing was that it was mobile first. Both ends of this call are on mobile. There's no laptops involved. So we tend to think of WebRTC as a laptop tool, and it really isn't for a lot of use cases, I think. And this is the extreme example, which I bought this the other day. This is Google Stadia. This is a games engine, right? You can play your favorite big shoot 'em up game in 1080p, but it'll actually run in 4K as well. So